Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Sometimes golf is a pain in the butt. You hit your ball in the trees and then you lip out the putt. But if you've got a little time, then come and spend it with us. Cause now you're listening to the Rough Cut.
Hello, 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 and welcome to officially the start of the golf season. We are coming to you the Monday after the Masters, even though this is released on the Tuesday because we record a day in advance. And boy, we are pumped up about what 2024 has to hold, because the Masters has just been completed. Scottie Scheffler has stomped all over the field like Michael Flatley in his best river dance days. I am joined by Mr. Mick, Mr. Kieran, and Mr. Jacob this Masters podcast. How are we all doing?
Excellent. I'm very tired.
Yeah, I'm tired as well.
It was a late one.
Yeah. I'm probably not as tired as I could have been.
Yeah.
How late did we stay up to watch this?
I waited till Tommy hadn't won. When Tommy held his putt on 18.
Could have gone to bed after the first tee on the first round, mate.
Wow.
Someone's given up hope.
Yeah. Jeez. When Tommy held his putt on 18, I was like, right, well, he didn't go nuclear, so I imagine that Scottie's going to win. I had a little hope in my heart for Åberg to come and, you know, come and do something mad, but I didn't anticipate that happening, so I was in bed about 11.
Mm. Yeah, I was the 16th. So yeah. Then
yeah. Scottie hitting the 16th green to me was the big tick.
Is that because that's the only time he could have ruined it for himself?
The water disappears, yeah. So it's just okay. Well, yeah. He could hit it in the trees, but then it's just a bunt out and he makes a bogey or something. So
Peter Finch.
I stayed until the bitter end because I actually care about my job and the research that I put into it. So until the bitter end, I was watching, and you're in that weird situation where you actually. I didn't mind Scottie winning. I'm actually really enjoying him kind of play recently, but it was more that thing where you're just hoping for someone else to come through or him to mess up so he brings some other people into the field, which obviously didn't happen because it's Scottie Scheffler and he is a cyborg. So, unfortunately, we will get onto Scottie and exactly the amazing things that he did. But I think we have to first discuss the players who got near him and then completely capitulated. And maybe some of the disappointments of the week as well. But before we do dive into that and we get our shovels out to dig through the miasma of stories that came from the Masters, we first have to also tell you that the Golf Bidder Challenge, the selection of the clubs, is now live on our YouTube channel. So if you haven't checked that out, the main YouTube channel, the Peter Finch Golf YouTube channel, if you haven't checked that out, make sure you do.
Yeah,
that's all I've got to say about that.
Is that all you got to say?
That's all I've got to say about that.
Don't tell them what clubs you selected. Although you were, the video's out.
Yeah,
what does
you
it
can
matter?
Say whatever you want now.
Kieran was hitting that 5-wood this morning. It's bloody lovely, that thing, isn't it?
It's lovely. Oh yeah, it's a great looking club. Yeah. I actually think that was my favourite club I picked. If you want to see how I hit it, though, you do have to wait until Friday. Before that, our video from Harbour Town comes out as well. There's a lot of content.
So much tent.
There's a lot of content coming out right now, and I hope you guys are enjoying it. Get down to those comments and let us know if you are. Back to the main event. If you do hear, by the way, if you hear like some static in the background, it's not static. The Great British Isles have welcomed the official start of the golf season by literally hailing.
The only way they know how.
Hailing on our heads. Like, it's just a welcome back to reality. So,
good day to get a ferry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Out there.
I've got to be honest. I forgot about that. I'm so focused on what we're doing. After this, we are getting a ferry to Ireland in about 40 mile an hour wind and hail.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. I'm not eating any food.
Is it the quick boy?
No.
The slow one.
Thankfully, it's the slow one.
I was
going to
say, otherwise you would be.
Yeah, the quick one would be bouncing everywhere. So
the good news about the weather is that it's going to stop precisely as we finish the podcast.
That's good.
Well timed, everyone.
Well, it's just nice. Excellent. It's nice to bring the realism, you know, to the listening ears around the world. A big thank you to everyone in the United Arab Emirates as well, as we are the number one golf podcast.
Well done, you lot.
In the UAE.
Keep it going.
Come on.
It was ticking them off. We were number one in India.
That's mad.
Now, the golfing population in India is pretty small.
Could we be the only golf podcast in India?
Potentially. Could we just like one really dedicated guy in India?
If you're listening from not a strange country, but from a country that we wouldn't expect you to be listening from, please comment below and tell us where you're listening from. Because if you are listening in India, well, clearly someone is, because we're rocking up there. So let us know where you're listening from.
On YouTube demographics, you can also check where people are watching from.
Wicked.
Because I've told you about the guy in, we had one guy by the watch time and the amount of views. One guy who was like a hardcore watcher in the Democratic Republic of Congo.
Oh, so good. The DRC.
Like, which is not a renowned golfing country. No. Like, so there's just one guy or one girl just dedicated. So
love it.
If you are listening
from
far-flung Isles, please let us know. We'd love to know where you're tuning in from. So also, what we tuned into was the Masters. Terrible segue, but
yes,
we got there.
Not your best.
Now, Scotty was, I must admit, he was the one that I picked before the week, and everyone else I picked was in hope. More than anything.
Yes, we did. We did go through our predictions on the last episode of the podcast, and there was an asterisk next to every name that we, you know, threw out into the world as a potential winner. It was Joaquin Niemann if Scotty doesn't win. You know, it was Wyndham Clark if Scotty doesn't win, whoever. So we kind of knew that it was his tournament, based on how he's playing, it was his tournament to lose, and he just didn't.
No. And it was just, I think, as soon as he hits the front, there's an inevitability about it. Thank you very much, guys. 10 out of 10 for me this morning. Thank you.
Get that coffee down.
I'm practically the Scottish Sheffield of the podcast game. I know this. It was just a case of when he hit the front, it was his to lose, and that's such a weird position to be in. There's very few players who have that sense about them.
Mm.
And he is very much turning into, you know, he's not the new Tiger, because everyone who was around in the Tiger era, it's not the same thing by any means. Mm-hmm. But stats-wise, data-wise, performance-wise, and that feeling of inevitability.
Oh my God, stop leading yourself to the word that you can't say.
he does have that sense about him, and it's good to watch, and I think we probably need to get on board with enjoying watching him win, because it's going to become a bit more frequent.
So you're going to have to. I did enjoy watching Butch sort of slowly twitch every time Nick did mention it. It was like, oh, this is the kind of closest thing we've seen to Tiger in a while, and he was just sort of slowly raging, like, he's not been doing it for long enough. But it was nice to see him sort of concede the fact that actually the way he's playing right now is as good as Tiger has at his pump.
I mean, statistically it is. The only difference really last 2 years, is the fact that he wasn't putting as well as he could have.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't dominate to the extent. Like, he dominated top tens.
Yeah.
Right, but last April after the Masters, then he didn't kind of go on to win really. And then now he's won the Players and he's won the Masters. Will he now carry on throughout the year?
It was like three wins in four, and the other one was a second.
He's the first player since Tiger to win the Masters, Bay Hill, and Players all in 1 year. It's wild.
So there you go.
It's wild.
And all because Rory told him to switch to a mallet putter.
Yeah, I know. How bad's that? Mm. Well, not bad. It's not bad, obviously, but to think that he's gone from putting like he did do to putting average, and we have to say that that is a big step up, and it just confirms what we were saying last year, that if he putted like an average golfer, he would have won 13 times last year.
Yeah.
He's already won 3 times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, only 10 to go.
could be the year.
Too bad you did call it at the start of the year as well. You were like, your prediction.
It's weird just how good he is.
Mm.
It is, considering how his swing looks, and we can get into the technical aspects of it, but how it looks and how he kind of works his way around the golf course in comparison to other golfers is absolutely wild. And he does it so consistently. I'm on board with the Scotty train, I must admit.
Yeah, it was an interesting tournament as well, because there was a few big disappointments in terms of, like, you know, Rory, obviously, Wyndham Clark, Brooks, you know, these players that we thought were going to be big.
Brian Harman, current best champion golfer of the year.
Yeah, yeah. But then there was players like Åberg, and, you know, even Morikawa. You know, Morikawa in the last year and a half has done not a lot. So, like, you know, it was good to see him up there. And, you know, obviously, what hole did he have that double bogey on? Oh, 9, wasn't it?
9 and then 11 as
9,
well.
9, 11, and then, yeah, it's just...
It was,
yeah.
Mostly it was aim and corner that kind of, again, really separated the players. You had Morikawa, who, yes, he doubled 9, but it was when he hit it into the water on 11 that you knew he'd gone.
Yeah.
Oboe was just going along like an absolute train, hits it in the water on 11. Mm-hmm. Max playing well up there, hits it into the bush on 12.
Yeah. It all kind of happened in one moment as well, didn't it? Just everyone just sort of disbanded. Yeah. And it was Scotty was just left at the top.
That was the period of the tournament where you were like, oh, okay. We were waiting for that for the entire Sunday.
It was poised. There was a moment where Scotty had dropped down to 6 under, and there was about 4 of them sat there.
Yeah.
Tommy was 3 back, I think. There was a couple of other
Bryson
guys.
Bryson was still up there at that point.
It was just like, hang on a minute, we might be in for a serious Sunday showdown here. Yeah. And then found ourselves in the last 5 holes, just kind of, he's won.
Do you think Åberg should have gone for it on 11? Like, he went pin-seeking, I thought, there. And then turned it over, and, you know, the wind was obviously going right to left as well.
I mean, this is very much speaking from the couch. What is it? Quarterback? Couch quarterback, or whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. Armchair quarterback, that's the same.
Yeah.
But you could just see that he was aiming at the right edge of the green, hoping for the wind to bring it back, and he just let it go a little bit left, just trying to get it towards that pin. And you know from watching the Masters over the year that as soon as you start to chase that kind of pin on Sunday, on 11, it's going to overdraw and it's going to go in the water. So it's understandable, and it's obviously forgivable, because it's a 520-yard par 4.
Yep.
It's a difficult hole. You're going to you're gonna mess up at some point around Augusta. What we do have to say about Åberg was, I don't think anyone really massively expected him to be up there challenging. He's a very good golfer, and he will be a superstar in the future, well, from now into the future. This is his first major.
Isn't it absolutely absurd?
11 months ago, I think it was, 12 months ago, say, he was literally playing college golf tournaments. And in that time, he's won twice, once on DP World Tour, once on the PGA Tour. He's played in the Victorious Ryder Cup team, and now he's just finished second in a major.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That is wild.
Special player.
And he just looked like he was having so much fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's many conspiracy theories, right? You know, that guy knocked his energy bar out of his hand. And then since then, after that, he went like par, double, you know. Like,
yeah, I saw
just
that.
Just sort of fell apart a little
bit. Find that guy. We got the internet sleuths in the comments, right? Let's find out whoever that was. He knocked that bar out of his hand.
Meredith Scheffler. Just like threw in there with a fist.
Surprised him.
Not today.
Good Lord.
It was like, and you speak about like how well he just presented himself throughout the whole thing. And like he made that double on 11, and then he's handing his putter back to the caddy, and he's like laughing, he's like smiling about it, and just to have that reaction of like, you've probably lost the ability to win the Masters right there. But he's not, he doesn't look like he's thinking like that.
I think it's like it's like reverse Rory syndrome, isn't it? Like, the reason that Åberg played so well is because no one expected him to be there, and no, he didn't have any of that. And then they mentioned it in the kind of hours and hours of build-up before they actually showed any live golf on Sky. They're saying that he doesn't have the scar tissue of this course. He is not scared. He's not worried about, I'm not worried about that water. Whereas the opposite is Rory's expectation on Rory is so high at this tournament that he goes out there panicked and worried about, oh my God, this is the one I need. I need this. And it reflects in the fact that he, you know, bats it around for three and a half rounds.
I think with Ober as well, he doesn't have that scar tissue of a venue which you return to. He also has said in interviews before that he just doesn't feel the pressure when he's on the golf course, which I have to say that looking at him, that appears to be the case.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't seem like it's bravado. It doesn't seem like he's just chatting
saying
for the sake
of it. Yeah.
So that's an incredible feat in itself.
That's a bloody superpower for a golfer.
I mean, this week we've seen so many golfers, I think, talk about the mental approach that they have, and some really good storylines coming from that. And I think I've seen that a lot this year, actually, from kind of Wyndham Clark to Max Homer, who's like seems to come out of the thinking man's golfer this week. Scotty's approach, obviously, Ober. And then we can contrast that to what appears to be going on with Rory, because he is very open about it. And that's one thing you do have to give him credit for. He doesn't really seem to shy away too much if he does have a bad round. And you could see that afterwards, there was a lot of emotion there, because it's another missed opportunity at the major that everyone thinks he can win. And Mick, I think you are right. The scar tissue that you have from returning to a venue year after year and not performing to the best of your ability, that will work in reverse. Like when Tiger goes to the Masters, imagine all the amazing memories he can draw on. Like he's got five wins there. He can just draw on those positives. He can see the amazing shots that he's hit time after time again. And potentially with Rory, he's going there and just feeling that disappointment. Like he's behind the eight ball before he even begins. So hopefully he can get over that, but we're in a realistic situation now where you're looking at all these players coming through, you're looking at the depth of talent, and
he's getting overtaken a bit, isn't he?
Yeah, there's a chance he's not going to do it. And the players have done this before, like Phil Mickelson. He should have won the US Open in his career. He's by far a good enough golfer. This should have happened. Spieth should have won the worst major championship in the USPGA.
Hot take.
But he hasn't. You know, these players, you look at them and say, they should do this.
Yeah. We talk about hard Grand Slams as well. For like half a second there, you're going, Morikawa's 75%. You know, he's gonna do this, and he's gonna be one off.
Yeah. For someone who we have had the kind of same conversation, like I picked him for, and we'll get into the major picks in a little bit, but like I picked him last year thinking, you know, he's had a year off, and then he had another year off last year. And suddenly he's talking of putter switches with Scheffler. He switched his putter during the tournament.
After round one, he's like,
twice. He's like,
is it working? And you know what? I love that. I respect that.
First of all, to have the awareness to go, the putter's not working for me. And second off, to have the bravery to go, I'll switch this during the first major of the year whilst I'm in contention. Absolutely amazing choice, because it worked out for him. He putted really well.
I would say that looking at the leaderboard and where Morikawa finished, because it was a surprise. He hasn't been playing good golf. We all know the quality that he possesses. He's a fantastic player, but he has had a couple of down years, and for him to be up at the top of the leaderboard challenging probably took him by surprise, because he had new driver, new putter, new ball, new three-wood. Like, that's a lot of new things going on for a major tournament. Yeah. And he managed to make it work in his favour. So him, Ober, Homer, I think that's his best finish in a major as well. We had a lot of players up there challenging Scotty. And Scotty must have looked at them and thought, okay, fantastic golfers, but I've been here.
Yeah, they've not got this pedigree.
Morikawa, yes, but also he's not been there for a while, so he must have looked around and said, "You know what? I think I've got this."
Could the like the second through sixth have got together and played a scramble?
wouldn't have beat him.
Do you know who I was a little bit not disappointed but surprised at was DeChambeau. Like that final, obviously he had that.
Speaking of new clubs,
well, yeah, had a great first round, and then on that final day, I don't know if you guys saw this, but he had a lot of birdie putts, and just the putter was, very, very cold. Yeah. So if some of them would have gone in.
He didn't look very comfortable. I know he doesn't look comfortable anyway.
No.
But he doesn't look very. He didn't look very comfortable that last round. Like the putts weren't starting online. They didn't have the right pace. But
it was quite stabby. I thought he was very.
Tee to green though. I thought he was brilliant. Yeah. I thought he was absolutely brilliant.
I think he was leading strokes gained off the tee.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's hard for him not to because of the distance that he hits it. However, on the greens, he didn't look comfortable. But also, that's his best finish in the Masters.
Yeah.
You know, let's not think that this is a course which is tailor-made for him. This is his best finish.
No. I just mean that, like, imagine, I know it's hindsight, isn't it? But it's just like, imagine if, like, a couple of those were going in early, you know, it could have been very, very different sort of thing.
However, he's not used to playing four rounds.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's very true.
Can we get it out of the way? Can we get it out of the way?
Drop this narrative.
Can we get it out of the way?
It's such a boring thing to say. I know why you said it, but it's such like a boring thing to say that people pull out. And Wyndham Clark, man, what a tool. He made himself look with that comment.
That's so funny.
What a moron. Why would he say that?
Yeah. It felt so unsolicited as well. Like it didn't need to be said. Yeah, like completely. I just don't know why.
Yeah.
It's so bizarre. But I think in our preview episode, we were talking about DeChambeau and saying about how we thought maybe his time in terms of getting into majors was running out with his win. Now, obviously, this does get him back next year, which is
excellent.
Good for him.
That's good news.
There's a few guys, obviously, I think it's 12 and ties gets you back automatically for next year.
Yeah.
So there's a few, like Pavon is a really good one, I think. Like he's slowly becoming a really, really, really good golfer out of nowhere. Like he's obviously won on the DP World Tour, but he's now almost top 30 in the world, finished T12. He gets back, which is great to see. You know, there's a few guys. I think Patrick Reed as well. He's also, I know, past champion. So
unfortunately,
he
gets to come back every year, Jacob.
That's true. But I'm just, you know, it's just the things that we have to look at with these LIV guys until we know what's going on with
Hatton.
Hatton, exactly. Another one.
Can we have a talk about Hatton's final round, please?
Yeah, it was
what on earth happened to him?
Yeah.
He just went absolutely nuts.
He was going well. He actually kind of
dropped
a little bit at the end, but it was, I don't know.
Every time he popped up on TV, I was like, oh, this has got to be for par. And it was like, eagle putt. And you're like, what?
He looked insanely unhappy with that.
He did.
I think that's a very Hatton-y thing to do, isn't it? To be absolutely tearing Augusta up and still be angry.
It looked like he was leaning into it.
It does make me laugh every time I see it because he hates it as well. He's never spoken about that course well at all. And anytime he plays it well, I'm like, are you having a good time? Or are you just
so
like,
funny.
I must be honest, like, if anyone can go through the archives and find the moment where kind of Tyrrell turned around and said, you know what? I actually really like that course.
That's
one of my favourites. I don't think he ever comes out and says it. Unless he really dislikes it.
He should have good vibes. He has played well there. He's had good rounds. He just never seems to enjoy himself.
That's what he does. I think with Han though, like him being up there was good. And like I said, with DeChambeau, like it was good him being up there as well because they're all characters that bring something else to the game. Mm. Obviously, that's what LIV have mostly done. They've targeted those kind of players to come over.
Yeah.
So to have them up there, I think it's generally good news. And I imagine by this point next year, the professional golf landscape's going to look quite different.
Yeah. It was interesting to see like how much they were sort of talking about LIV as well. I don't know if you guys noticed that as well, but last year I seem to remember not like LIV Golf wasn't really mentioned much, whereas like this year I thought it was, you know, pretty well mentioned. It's good.
I think a couple of times they went to say LIV and they then correct them. Maybe they had been coached to say the other tour instead of to call it its name. Because I heard a couple of times they went to say LIV Tour and corrected themselves and said the other tour or another tour instead of giving it its name. So a little bit of coaching potentially.
I think it's just ingrained into them.
Yeah.
Now. Yeah. They who shall not be named.
Yeah. The Voldemort of golf.
Oh, don't say his name.
Sorry, everyone.
Oh my
Voldemort.
God. I think with a lot of some of the other kind of stories to come out of the week, you had Zach Johnson really endearing himself to the patrons.
Things have gone way downhill.
It's the second time he's done this now.
Yeah. And that's true, actually. Yeah. Was it Waste Management?
Yeah. I think the denial of it was pretty bad because you can
just show him the video.
You can kind of like the thing is, you can understand in that moment the frustration why he may have said that. You know, he's just tapped in for a triple bogey. There's a cheer from the crowd, which may have been ironic, may not have been. You know, he's not endeared himself to the American golf fans over the past 12 months for a few different reasons. And then he just looked and swore at them.
Yeah.
And then to deny that afterwards by saying he didn't hear them and he couldn't hear backwards, when in fact in the video he was facing towards them. Mm. Like, by the way, if you're new to biology, if something happens behind you, you can still hear it. That is not how sound works. Okay. Unless he's like listening with his eyes, like you can hear things which are happening behind you. So that's really not an excuse. And just the way that he did it was obvious what was happening. So I don't know why he just did say, you know what, sorry, I was frustrated, I apologize. To like lean into it like that was really weird.
Just making things worse for himself.
Yeah.
His end of career downfall is just remarkable. For a man who's won a Masters and an Open, should be an American golfing hero.
Yeah.
And like say in the space of 12 months, his Ryder Cup appearance, not exactly...
picked all his mates and then lost.
Didn't do too great for him. And now, we say, in the last 6 months, he's attacked patrons with verbal warnings about, shut up, don't talk to me.
It's just not very Zach Johnson. No, it's not.
I'm going to say it now, Zach Johnson to live. They're after characters. They like interaction with fans. He's your perfect signing.
Just imagine, like, Zach, listen, I know you're near the end of your career. What we really need you to do is focus on fan interaction.
Could you just be horrible to some people, please?
Anytime you hear anything, we need you to mouth off.
Yeah, could you throw some clubs as well? That would be great.
A bit of windmill. That is one thing I can't imagine. Can you imagine Zach Johnson windmilling a putter across the green?
Yeah.
Like, now I can.
Yeah, I could never do that, but now I'm thinking of it. I could see a club snap.
Yeah.
I could just see a vicious throwdown.
Yeah. Who did we see miss a green and almost throw a club into the crowd? Might have been Neiman, actually.
I can't remember.
Yeah, it was on the coverage. Neiman. So we'll get to Jacob's pick.
No, we won't. We're going to get there right now.
Jacob went through the stats, as he does at every major tournament, and decided that Joaquin Neiman was the tournament winner. Didn't go particularly well for you. However,
that's the whole point of it. Is like, if I could pick the winner every time, then it would be easy, wouldn't it? I can't. Yeah. Okay. I've just got to go off what I can find out.
Listen, it didn't go too badly. T22 is not awful.
No, it's not.
However, someone made a terrible prediction.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, right? God, as if Brooks was going to win. Come on, Kieran. Think about what you're saying. Yeah. Listen, my boy Nick Taylor, you know, he didn't play great.
He did not play well.
He didn't play great. Well. He got, he was actually one of the, we'll talk about like course conditions, well, actually, because he was one of the players who seemingly got absolutely smashed by the weather. I think it was very unexpected, like, especially on Friday. Mm. When it started to blow at like 40 miles an hour.
Yeah, it was kind of late-ish on, wasn't it?
Yeah. And the greens were so firm and the fairways were firm. The one thing they were worried about when the storm came in on the Thursday, which delayed the start of play, was that it would soften the course up and then not just the bombers would get the big advantage.
Which we kind of sort of see. You know, DeChambeau shot 7-under on the first day.
Yeah, yeah. So it was a little bit softer, a little bit more playable. But then all of a sudden it firms up and the wind started gusting. And it was the point where I felt a bit... You know what? I don't feel sorry for them, but at the same time, I'm like, that looks hard.
Yeah, the course is bad enough as it is. Yeah. I don't also need 40 mile an hour wind.
Well, how many players were under par? 9 in total, I think it was. 9 players?
Something like that, yeah.
I mean, on that day, I think there might have been 5 or 6 rounds.
And there was eight rounds in the 80s.
Yeah. I think on the on that Friday, I think Aubert was the only one to shoot in the 60s.
Yeah.
Right. One round in the city. It was a 69. It was the only
unbelievable.
One.
It's crazy. For the Masters, I know the Masters does play tough at times, but you think of the Masters, you think of exciting birdies. Mm. You don't think of a grind.
Yeah.
And that's what it really, really was. They did soften it up for the last day, and they had the most traditional pin placements you could possibly have for a Masters. Mm. You knew exactly where every single one of them was going to be, which was good.
Yeah. It was, I think we've mentioned it in the past that sometimes, and especially when we were going into from 13 onwards, once you get around Amen Corner, if someone is fairly significantly in the lead, there's not really, as long as they don't do anything stupid, the kind of drama is not really there. Mm. We haven't seen as many, you know, Spieth fats into waters and things in the last couple of years. I know Smith put the ball in the water at 12 a couple of years ago, but it's actually not as close as you might think it could be, unless people are piling on top of each other. A four-stroke lead going into 13, 14 is never really going to be overdone now.
With 16 being the last water, you see, and that, it being a par three.
And with the pins, you say, if Scotty showed it on 16, if you play it right, you can put it pretty close. 14 as well, if you hit it in a good spot, that was in a bowl. Mm. It was how many times you saw birdies there.
But that's what they want on the final round. They want... Yeah.
They want it, which is fine. But if we don't have that clump of players at the top, actually, it's not as close as you think. And if you've got that guy who's come running up the leaderboard who posts, Tommy went crazy and put 8 under. At the time, you would think, oh, hang on a minute. But Scotty's still got to come through all these holes, which then eventually escapes them. And it's like, oh, well, actually, it's got to be done, obviously. They've got to do
it. The tournament going down the back would have been much, much closer if those three mistakes that you mentioned hadn't happened. If Morikawa, Åberg, and Homer hadn't have made those stakes on Amen Corner, we wouldn't have been looking at a four-shot lead. We'd been looking at a two-shot lead.
Yeah. The reason it felt a little bit flat is because rather than Scotty, he did obviously go out and win, but rather than going out and winning with all these exciting birdies, you just survived that stretch while everyone else fell away.
100%.
So that's why it kind of felt a little bit flat. But Amen Corner decided, again, this tournament with bad shots rather than with the excitement. Mm-hmm. And you are right. The stats show that if you are leading or in the final group going into that last round, generally you're going to be the winner.
Yeah, hasn't the winner come from the final group for the last six tournaments or something?
But even... bigger scale than that. Yeah. It's 28 of the last 33 or something. Oh, wow.
It's a lot. Because Jacob is right. It does sometimes give a bit of a false perspective. Because if you do make a charge, like you said, the leaders have to then come through those holes. I'm going to say it, and slightly controversial take.
Okay. We like those on here.
The last two holes at Augusta kind of stink.
Okay. Mm.
18's really.
I like 18.
For excitement.
Okay.
Bit meh.
If you think about what comes before it.
Yeah.
Mm. Like I said, Scotty got into those last two holes. Everyone went to bed because they knew that there was not going to be that many birdies from anyone else and not that many bogeys from him.
But what can they do? Bunker the hell out of them.
I've got a ball plan.
Here we go.
I've got a ball plan. So we all know how steep the 18th is.
What, a reddish?
Yeah, because it's the same elevation over the 18th at Reddish on. Reddish Vale, because it's the same course designer. So we know it's quite downhill. So how about this?
Uphill.
Okay. Depends which way you're looking at it. Imagine this. Cast your imagination onto this, all right? Because you all know how much of a fan I am of the 18th at the Earth course.
Oh, yeah.
At Jumeirah.
Oh, God.
A river. From a natural spring right at the front of the 18th green. A stream coming all the way down the middle of the fairway, winding its way around the corner and ending in a dramatic 40-foot waterfall right where the edge of the fairway is now.
I think the driver landing zone, you mean?
Oh, no, that's where the stream curves
right. Right, okay, got you. Yeah.
Those bunkers, we extend them. So those two bunkers at the back, we make them one, extend them around to the left-hand side as well.
Oh.
Yeah. You see what I'm saying?
I'm starting to feel it.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is very Augusta, don't you? I can see it.
Yeah.
A couple of palm trees, I reckon, as well.
There's a lot of holes that have got rivers running through them at Augusta.
We need a cart path in there as well. Cart path to the right. Take some of those trees out to the right. Take a cart path all the way
windmill.
Through.
Windmill. We'll have a windmill.
there's a few holes that has that. I mean, I think in previous years we've seen them people have gone into them more than before. Like 15, I don't think I really saw anyone go into the water.
No.
Maybe take that one out, chuck it on 18.
We did. A couple of people sprayed it over the back, didn't they?
I'm not on about around the green. I'm on about the one that goes down the left-hand side.
Oh, yeah, no one goes in there.
It's untouched now. So get that out.
Yeah.
Put that up 18.
Pick that bit of water out. Just like you're playing SimCity or something. Pick it up.
Dump it
in front of the green at 18.
The thing is, Augusta can do that.
Yeah. They make changes every year.
If they want to make a change, or the 13th tee obviously was kind of really moved back.
Oh, yeah.
We'll go back further into the trees. And
50 yards next year, isn't it?
Looked beautiful with all the azaleas. The fifth hole now is pretty established. That looks really good.
Yeah.
So they'll make changes and they'll make and adapt how things are going to look in the future. But the core of the course, I don't know, it feels he had Tiger winning, which was obviously dramatic. I don't really remember that much of an exciting round.
I agree with that.
During the last 18 of the Masters.
But no, I agree.
I think
it could have been.
Yeah,
it could have been.
It very much could have been. Like, you know, we had, it was tight.
I think what you say, I don't quite agree with 17, 18 not being super, but I think...
Rip them up, Saga.
I think...
For God's sake.
I would say that you could extend that.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
And say that from after Amen Corner, which has, you know, obviously this year did show its teeth, people put it in the water, but I think from 13 onwards to 18, because we go back every year, as a finishing stretch to a major, I think it's not great. Because it seems like it could bare its teeth a little bit, but yeah, actually how good these guys are now, and there is ways that you can play it to make it a little bit less difficult, I think. So, I mean, you talk about, you know, Pinehurst in a few months' time, that run of holes to finish, I think, will show how much more that a guy can't... You can't have given him the major before he's got down 18 yet, even with a two-shot lead. Whereas at the Masters, there's a little bit more of a, okay, well, the last guys could be on the tee box, Scheffler leads by two. As long as he doesn't have to re-tee it, he's fine.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, but... There we go. I mean, that's the...
Well, I was going to say that if it was the fact that Homer, Åberg and Scheffler are all 7-under going into 14, yeah, you're like, wow,
yeah,
this
yeah
is now... So you can split it either way. You know, if someone's running away with it, yeah, right, it's not great. But if we've got it where we've got that 3-horse, 4-horse race, then it's really epic.
I think potentially we're not giving Scheffler his dues, actually. Yeah. Like, how will he play? Because everyone else dropped away. Yeah. We're a little bit disappointed, but that's fair.
Yeah.
I think we can't finish off the Masters segment without having a couple of little roundups of, first of all, Tiger Watch.
Well done, sir.
In his Sunday red. His big sweaty Sunday
for the
red.
First time, isn't it? We've seen that.
He was roasting in that interview afterwards.
Every day in the cabin, he got progressively more sweaty. Yeah.
he was dripping after the 18.
Just towel him off. Just towel him off real quick before you do your interview.
I don't know, because obviously he's actively trying to be as hot as possible so he can move his body the way that he wants to. I don't know if... Does he like... I know he's rubbing a lot of things on his back kind of after one of the rounds. I don't know if he's like actively doing something to get super, super
to
hot.
To get that sweat. He's got those hand warmers in his pocket.
Yeah, because it was warm, but like he literally not looked like he just come out of a sauna.
Maybe that was like stress sweat. You know when you go into a really tough exam, you come out afterwards, you're like, oh my God, that was horrible.
But he managed to get... Listen, he was one of my pre-tournament predictions of being a... Bit of a disappointment in the fact that I didn't think he'd finish.
I didn't think he'd make the cut.
And he got through four rounds.
Yeah. Well done, sir.
Well, he made history.
He made history.
24 consecutive cuts.
I mean, which is absolutely incredible.
Who was it that said, like, it would be gutted if he missed it and had to start all over again? He's like, that's never happening.
Reset. it was good to see the fact he made it through. Obviously, the last two rounds, he wasn't playing great. You could see he was suffering a touch. Mm. And he said he's targeting to play at Valhalla. So hopefully he can get there. Valhalla, again, pretty hilly golf course. Just, Tiger, just protect yourself to the open. Troon, pretty much a pancake.
Very flat. It's real flat.
Yeah.
You'll enjoy yourself there. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll carry you around.
He's not going to play again before PGA, is he?
I don't think
No, he didn't. He said he wants to try it. He said one a month.
Yeah,
at the beginning of the year, but I think he's probably scaled that down just to the four majors.
Yeah, so and whatever else I can get away with. One for April, and then 16th of May is PGA.
Yeah,
so he's not playing. He's not playing because he got Hilton Head this week.
Yeah,
then it's the Zurich. He's not playing with anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's the CJ Cup.
Definitely not.
And then it is Wells Fargo.
Yeah,
he's not doing anything. Now the only hope,
unless he wants to play the Myrtle Beach Classic, that is also coming up.
Oh my god, we almost forgot. I'm starting that video today.
What? No, you're not.
Oh, the one before. I'm starting the one after.
Yeah.
The only hope that the rest of the golfing world has is that Scottie Scheffler is about to be real tired because he's about to become a dad.
Yes.
So what we're hoping is that, you know, becoming a parent for the first time is very difficult and it does tire you out. You don't sleep. Your schedule's completely out of whack. You can't do any of the things you want to do because you're concentrating on keeping this human alive. All we can hope is that for the rest of the majors, you know, it just maybe just levels him out and that the rest of the field can suddenly go, yeah. Oh, okay, yeah, we can kind of catch him now.
Yeah.
Not a chance.
There's always the first dad like bump, isn't there? Like when they have a kid for the first time. Like always,
new manager bump.
Yeah, literally.
I think with Scotty, the way that he seems to approach life and the way he goes about things, I think it's going to make him more positive about things.
Oh, it's going to be great.
And he's going to be more settled. And he's going to feel more at ease. And it's frankly disgusting.
Gives him a new perspective on life. And
can you imagine him like just picking up his fifth, sixth green jacket? His kid runs onto the green, you know. It's going to be great.
Do you reckon he's got another major in him this year?
Yeah.
You'd be silly not to say, I think.
Yeah.
It's kind of annoying, but...
He's just, I mean, how much money has he just banked? Almost like $4 million?
3.6 it was.
3.6. Yeah. Like, if things get tough... He's going to be like, you know what? I could probably spend a few grand on a nanny. You know, kid. I mean, I don't have kids, but Mick, you can tell me. I'm presuming they don't get that interesting until like 3, 4, maybe.
Wow.
And they get their personality, a bit of character. Like,
I would say much after that, to be honest.
All right. Okay. So it's kind of like.
So they're kind of boring until 7.
Mm. Oh, it's fine.
I've got a six-year-old, so I take that back.
Yeah.
No, they're great. The thing is, they are just way more work than you think. That's the only thing, is that you're kind of like, you know, it'll be fine. Yeah, it'll be tough. There's, you know, we've got a team and we've got family, we've got whatever, but it's just
tiring. They do have a lot more spare time than the average.
This is true.
You know, first dad kind of.
Yeah, it's not the same as going to your 9-to-5 day job every
exactly,
day. Is
yeah.
it?
So.
They can make it work. I reckon I am not worried about the Scheffler.
Stay on the private jet while I go and play golf.
I'm sure Meredith is going to be a wonderful mother. So
it's going to be great. Speaking of wonderful mothers, we have.
Okay, where are we going?
We have confirmed who the best golfer on YouTube is. Bryson DeChambeau.
This is very true. And the king of content as well. Mm. Like when he held out for that birdie on the 18th on round 3, the way he's just carrying signs around everywhere. We need to get a match with him, really.
Yeah.
We need to get that sorted.
Yeah,
Bryson, if you want to come on the Peter Finch channel, let us know. We'd love to have you. We'd love for you to beat Pete by 36 shots over 18 holes.
Maybe break 50.
Oh, yeah, that's his challenge. You should go and do that. That'd be cool.
That'd be too easy, be 48. am I going to get an internet apology for Jason Day's clothing?
Some people still liked it.
I think he was very well dressed. I think he was one of the coolest looking people at the tournament.
And
there were some bad choices that should get mentioned, aka Wyndham Clark.
Municipal.
Yeah. I think Jason Day played himself out of that tournament during the first 2 days because how could you not be distracted by you've got two sailing ship sails on your legs? Like he must have almost toppled over on every single shot in that wind.
Yep.
And then the master, did you see the master told him to take his sweater off?
I did see that, yeah. And I didn't mind the sweater. I think the sweater was fine.
Yeah. I would have.
The trousers on the first day, I didn't love it. It wasn't but it wasn't necessarily the style of the trouser. It was the material of the trouser. Didn't think it kind of fit. It was like your
fashion watch with Jacob.
I just didn't know. I didn't like. But the thing that irritated me more and I'm not going to name any names, but I saw too many people like defending Jason Day's stuff and then like bashing on other people, which is like, okay, fair enough. But if you're obviously defending Jason Day's stuff because he got a lot of hate for what he was wearing.
Yeah.
So if you're going to hate on something else, you can't go and hate on another person as well. Yeah. Yeah. If you're kind of like saying that, oh, people can wear what they want to wear, then the other person can wear what they want to wear. Now, granted, Sergio Garcia's outfit on the first day was disgusting. However, that's fine. If he wants to wear that, let him wear it.
I love talking about golf fashion. I love talking about something I have
like nothing.
For someone who dresses like quite traditionally and quite down the line on the golf course, I don't think of all of us, probably Jacob is the best equipped to talk about these things.
Finger on the pulse.
Yeah.
But I haven't...
Never have I seen so many ASOS packages arrive at our office. That
was ASOS, Zara, Abercrombie, Uniqlo, they all come in.
Other clothing manufacturers are available.
Thank you,
yes,
Footjoy.
Footjoy.
I'm lucky in the way I dress because I have a few things up my sleeve, okay? I will generally dress in quite blocky colours, because I'm colorblind. So I can't risk when it gets like a navy blue and a black. I can't risk that. So if I'm wearing like a navy blue or black trousers, I need to make sure that the top is much lighter or vice versa. So I'm pretty comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. And I also have I am also lucky to have a wide selection of clothing to choose from. Mm-hmm.
When you wear jeans, it does freak me out a little bit.
I got jeans on right now.
I know you have.
I'm very excited about the summer coming around because it's almost short season, so I can just get my shorts back on.
It's going to be good.
Kieran's been in that mode for the last 5 months.
I've got swimming shorts on.
There we go.
Just going for a quick
hailing outside.
Which is a terrible choice.
Off to Holyhead.
Want to go on a ferry, are we?
We're not diving off it.
All right.
That's not a cruise.
I mean, I hope not. Like, if the ferry goes down and Kira's like, I got my swimming shorts on, I'll be okay.
Goggles.
It's ready to go. What are these in my pockets? The armbands on.
Dork thinks he's going to drown.
Oh, dear. Before we do guest to play it, also a big shout out to Masters Social.
Yes.
Wow, the social team at the Masters have absolutely outdone themselves this year. Like the Masters committee, Fred, really, were talking about how they're trying to move with the times, they're trying to do different things. And I think it was an actual acknowledgement by him and by the committee and by kind of people in general that actually people are consuming more of their content and want more information than the Masters away from just the TV.
Yeah.
Because, you know what? I got to be honest. I think for one of the first times this year, I can understand why. Because the build-up to the actual round was painful at times. Now, there's a few things that I must say about this, okay? I have done some commentary, and I now understand how difficult it is to fill time because you're just chatting and you're just desperately trying to find anything to fill that time with before the producer comes in your ear and says, I'm here to save you. We're going to this hole. Mm. Like, you can now stop blathering on.
George Harper has got to where he needs to be. Yeah. And we can go to him now.
George Harper is on the 12th and he's got someone in fancy dress.
There we go.
And it's like, fantastic. Okay. Oh, George. Oh, I hear George is out there on the course. That's the blessing. So I can understand it. But unless you had access to featured groups and early coverage, like if you wanted your Masters fix, there's just so much chat, so much unnecessary nonsense going on kind of like beforehand. And I think it was maybe because there was such a build-up about the Masters and maybe because everyone was invested in it. Mm. Just want to see the golf.
Man. Yeah.
Just want to see players hitting shots.
Yeah.
That's all I'm bothered about. I don't need a 3D rendering of the Masters. Don't need it.
As cool as it is.
I'll tell you what, show me a 3D rendering of the people playing golf right now.
Yeah. Real life 3D rendering.
Yeah, I'd like to see them swinging on the course.
And I could tell that I was getting a bit annoyed and getting a bit old man about it because on that 3D rendering... There's a tree out of place on the first hole. Did you see it?
Yes.
It was like right in front of the green. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I saw that, I was like,
it's not even real.
It's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. They're making Henny look a fool here. What a waste of time.
She did a great job, Henny.
She did a very good job. She's the best.
I'm on board with you completely because there was a point where Tiger was on the course. Rory was out.
Brooks was out.
Jason Day was out. Adam Scott was out.
I think it might have been the Saturday.
And they've got bloody, and of course.
You're going to mention someone here.
They had Brad Faxton in there.
Yeah.
Very knowledgeable golf man. Excellent. They had a couple of other punterty jobs. Nick Faldo in there and all. He was great. 2 iron.
Let me tell you about this.
Yeah, let me tell you about how I won the Masters. Nick, we're not even on air.
Scotty's walked up the 18th.
This takes me back to 89.
Like, God's sake. But like, these players were out on the course. Mm. And like you said, if you didn't have access to featured groups, or if you didn't have the Masters website open with the, you know, shots playing on the My Groups feature or whatever, You're missing the golf while these old fogies are chatting about stuff they did years ago.
I mean, when you get kind of ex-players on, they do offer that perspective. And obviously, you know, Sir Nick has won the Masters a couple of times, if you didn't know.
Yeah, well done, sir.
And
back to back, I'll have you know.
Back to back.
And in a playoff, did you know that?
And he does give insights on the course that are quite interesting, but it's a hard mix. And, you know, we are not like TV broadcasting kind of experts. I know a small amount that goes into it now, but the whole scale of the operation is unbelievable. But I think if they do want to, you know, engage people in golf more, and we know that the viewership is dropping off over this past year because of the split and all the rest of it, getting all the golfers together again just seemed an opportunity to do something with the coverage, which was novel, which was Shoma Golf.
Yeah. I think what actually happened is that very likely Sky, where we were watching it in the UK, probably didn't have access to live golf until 7 o'clock.
Yeah. It was CBS, I think.
Yes. Yeah. So what happens is probably that broadcaster in the US has got the rights to show the golf. And in the US, they don't show the golf anyway. They show you 45 minutes of ads an hour. So you're not seeing any hits anyway. Yeah,
it's just the fact that it's the same every year. We've heard a lot of these stories every year, and you know, we just need something different.
Something else.
Get someone that's missed the cut and, like, you know, get them in. Yeah. You know, like just someone different.
Do you know what I'm sick of hearing? I'm sick of hearing how the older players being surprised that the newer players are hitting shorter clubs into greens. Mm. I hate that. Oh, I remember having to hit a 3 iron in here. He's got a 7 iron in hand. Yeah, they hit it further than you.
What was the other one that
they've got new equipment?
Oh, anytime Nick Doherty was mentioning about aim point, and you could hear Butch go,
he hates it
every time.
Butch is really good. I love it.
Listen, they're so smart and they're so knowledgeable, but the coverage was a struggle at times.
I do love Butch as well. It just go to show, like, people have their favorites, and it's so opinion based, but there's definitely something that needs to change and needs to adapt and needs to evolve. And like you mentioned about the Masters app, like, it's a real shame because for another year we're not going to get to use the best app available on the iPhone.
So good.
Or Android if you're a bit weird.
So true. Get a real phone. What's wrong with you?
Listen, another one, Google Store or something.
I know a lot of Android users now are great people. We shouldn't judge them because of that. You know what? In fact, if you're an Android user, you're probably fighting against the machine. So respect.
You beat against the man and you're winning.
Respect.
How did we do in our major picks? What did we get?
Have we told it up? I'm not sure we have we?
It's the next thing we're about to do. But first I wanted to mention thank you to the Discord for setting up the kind of internal Masters one. We'll put up here who won internal Discord. You had to pick them in the app. So that was the in-app one, completely separate.
Yeah.
No stakes on it. Just a bit of fun. Thank you to Discord for setting that up. I will now tell you how we did.
Okay, here we go. And then we're on to guess the player.
And then we're going to guess the player, correct.
All right, that was quite far to reach, that wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I hurt my back. Hurt my back in the shower.
Did you have a fall?
No, I very dramatically turned around to grab the shampoo.
Put your back out.
My lower back on my left side, like, literally went into spasm and locked up. It's a lot looser today, but I was panicking yesterday.
Oh, God. It was like when we were driving to golf on Sunday and Mick was popping and locking in the passenger seat and his neck, like, cracked. I think popping and locking should be done.
I think this is ageist.
when we go outside to get in the car later on, you'll actually see that I had a fairly dramatic Sunday, back locked up, and I now have a new car.
Oh.
Did you crash it?
No. Something incredible. Well, I think I know what's happened.
What's?
So I sat up from my mum and dad's driving back to Preston, and I just, something starts to make a bit of an eerie, like, bit of a screeching noise. I imagine this is what the sirens would have sounded like if you were sailing on the open seas back in Greek times.
Mm.
There was like a screeching, and I was like, is that coming from the car? I opened the window a little bit, and we were driving down a relatively...
Classic technique, by the way.
Driving down a relatively narrow road, and like the echo of this screech was like, as we passed the car, it was like... and it was like coming back into the car, and I was like, what the crap is that? Like, stop the car, I had a look under it. There was nothing. I was like, right, okay, fine. Set off again. It was okay. And then about 10 minutes later, it started again. I was like, oh, God. And we were going past kind of like a friend's house. We pulled in. And it's either the brake has locked on or there's something which is inside the brake caliper. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, well done. Yeah.
And it was just gouging out the disc. And wow. I was like, oh, crap.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's bad.
And I was like, the worst thing is, I'm there. I'm like, well, you know, this happens if there's a stone stuck in there or something. There's worse things that can happen. But I'm driving back to Manchester, getting stuff sorted, and we're taking that car on the ferry to Ireland. And I'm like, I don't need this on Master Sunday. This is meant to be
on this holy day.
This is the one day of the year where I just want to relax. I want to park my ass right in front of the couch and just chill out. But I had to get that car collected. I had to get another car dropped off. Big shout to BMW customer service, by the way.
Yeah, they do it in that quickly.
Got it all done in 4 hours.
That's very good.
Wow.
So I've got a new car outside, which is, guess what?
Is it an iX?
Same guess car? What? It's exactly the same car.
Excellent work.
Well, it's probably good. You need the space.
Yeah. So that and my back locking up wasn't ideal. So how are we getting on the major bits?
Okay. So we'll stick the teams up here. But basically the major picks draft for this year, Jacob's team, Koepka, Hovland, Åberg, Cameron Smith, Kieran's team, Rahm, Schauffele, Matsuyama, Dustin Johnson, Peter's team, McIlroy, Clark, Zalatoris, Maronk, my team, Scheffler, Cantlay, Fitzpatrick, and Neiman. Any comments so far?
Victor Hovland, you fool. You've let me down.
Yeah. Wyndham Clark, keep your trap shut, son.
Excellent.
Actually, no, don't. You're one of the interesting players, so keep going.
Yeah. Jacob, one miscut.
Yeah,
Victor Hovland, Victor. 60 points for him. Well done. Mm. Koepka 45, Åberg 2, Smith 6.
Yeah.
So you're
there's a bit of a split halves, there, isn't it? Yeah.
It's not horrible. It's not horrible.
It's okay. What was my overall?
Overall, you are going to be 113.
It's okay. I think any time you can keep in double digits, you've had a good...
Yeah.
You've had a good...
You are second.
Oh, I am. Ooh.
Congratulations.
Wow, thank you.
It's very good.
Yeah, thank you.
In tied... Third?
Yeah, if that's...
These two.
T3.
Rahm, Schauffele, Matsuyama, Johnson, 45, 8, 38, miscut. Mm. Johnson with 60 there.
Yeah.
Didn't Dustin Johnson have a single birdie?
I'm going to really struggle with
him. he might be a quick transfer.
I'm going to really, really struggle with him.
Yeah. Peter Finch did... What it looks like is that you did the worst because you have two missed cuts.
Mm.
However, your other players made up for it. So you had Clark and Maronk both missed the cut, but you had Zalatoris 9, McIlroy 22.
Mm.
Not horrible. You two both 151 points.
Oh, wow.
It's all right. It's Ilsen, it's first major.
It's an early.
Let's not panic.
I currently am winning.
Oh, here we go.
Scheffler won.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, that's only 1 point, everyone.
Yeah, that is one point, which is great.
And then... Weirdly enough, all three of my other players were T22.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
There's a lot of people on T22.
Cantlay, Fitz, Neiman, McIlroy, all T22.
Yeah, there's loads of T22s.
I'm on 67. 67, 113, 151.
Oh, wow. It's quite a big...
Yeah.
Big jump. Mm.
Excellent. Big jump. Have you got pen and paper ready?
I have.
It's time for guest the player.
Welcome to the 2024 Rough Cut Open. The game where your knowledge of golf history is more important than your ability to actually hit the ball. How the game works. At the end of each episode, I describe the life and career of a famous golfer, and after each clue, these accomplished professionals write down who they think it is. However many hints it takes them to get home is how many shots they took on that hole. So, if you get a par 5 after just 4 clues, you would finish that hole in 1 under par. Here are the current standings. Let's rejoin the action as the players tee off.
Welcome to Guess the Player. This is the...
Thank you.
Yeah, you guys, you're always welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're playing a par 4. It's going to be tough. Okay, friends?
I don't like that.
Okay, friends.
Play along at home. If you're in the car, play, you know, verbally. Don't write anything down because that's dangerous. If you're watching on the YouTube, stick how you did below. Shot number one. This player did kung fu as a kid. It's a par 4, so you're not. It's not even drivable. It's a long one. This player, shot number one. This player did kung fu as a kid.
Everybody was kung fu.
Great tune.
But not practical because everyone couldn't have been kung fu fighting because that's not a realistic thing to happen, is it?
Yeah, and yeah. Everyone wasn't fast as lightning.
Yeah, but also like Whitney Houston's not every woman. Do you know what I mean?
That's allegorical.
Do you know what I mean? So if we're going to talk about lyrics and reality.
Who's got that dog in him?
Who's got that?
It could be him. We've had him though, but
you may also see in the very near future Guess the Player come into a short form content stream, so TikTok and Reels. I've done very short versions of some Guess the Players so that you can beat your friends at it on the internet.
Cool. Okay. Solid drive. Obviously green isn't reachable.
New. Shot number two. That's a good start. Mm-hmm. Became the first golfer to win the Ben Hogan Award in 2 consecutive years. The award is given to the best player in college golf in the United States. He became the first golfer to win the Ben Hogan Award in 2 consecutive years. The award is given to the best player in college golf in the United States. And just stumped.
That's a good clue.
That's a good clue, yeah.
Everybody wants coffee.
Okay. Just gonna keep my guess.
Still not getting an era though. Mm. This could be anyone in golf.
Listen. You haven't got PGA Tour first start. You haven't got
date of birth. Usually a favorite.
All we know,
he's alive. We don't know he's alive.
No,
actually.
All we know is the man, and he started playing golf after Ben Hogan.
That's true. We do after have the a Ben bit Hogan of an
award
era.
After the Ben Hogan Award was instigated.
Yes, that is true, which I still don't know the information for, but you are correct.
Narrows it down.
It does.
And the kung fu. Don't forget the kung fu.
Yeah, the kung fu is very important.
Of course, yeah. So he was a black belt in taekwondo.
And they played college golf. It's practically down to Temple, actually.
I'll give you a free drop. They also did canoeing as a kid.
Did they?
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't know that, do you? You just made that up.
No, it's 100%. A fact, but I just put the kung fu one because it was the most interesting.
I have no idea. I've just kept it the same.
Okay.
At the moment,
Shot number three, this is for birdie. In 2021, he tested positive for something. His first positive test...
Having that dog in him.
His first positive test meant he had to withdraw from the Memorial Tournament while 6 clear with 18 holes to play. And his second positive result meant he couldn't play in the Tokyo 2020 Olympics. God damn it. In 2021, he tested positive for something. It's not a drug, unfortunately. It's just I don't want to say that word because it will get flagged. His first positive test meant he had to withdraw from the Memorial Tournament while 6 clear with 18 holes to play. And his second positive result meant he couldn't play in the Tokyo 2020 Olympics.
I think I've got it.
Everyone think they've got it?
I think I've got it.
Yeah, I think I've got it. I'm pretty sure that was there's a big collection area on the screen, isn't there?
Yeah.
No water.
It's in a bowl.
It's in a bowl.
Yeah.
It's in a bowl. It's like the entrance to the green is like a chute.
Got it. I love that.
And then it basically some like curbs come up. And then it just runs through a windmill and into the hole.
If you think this is over, though, by the way, the amount of times that Kieran says, I've got this,
yeah, no, that's,
and
that's,
turns
that's,
out to be literally nowhere near.
That's why I'm not
commit until you hear this one. Shot number four, and this is your tap-in for par. He is one of four players from Spain to win the Masters. He is one of four players from Spain to win the Masters. I told you it was a tap-in.
He got that dog.
He got that dog.
Okay, so if you haven't got it now, you're going to be over par for this hole. Here comes your bogey putt. At the 2023 Open Championship, this player shot the 40th 63 in major history and the first at Royal Liverpool. At the 2023 Open Championship, this player shot the 40th 63 in major history and the first at Royal Liverpool. No one's changing their answers.
Well, I don't remember that.
Yeah, I do. On the third day, when everyone was struggling, and he just went absolutely nuts, but still couldn't catch Harmon.
Wow.
Yeah. If you haven't got it now, you're going to be two over, but don't worry, that's the worst you can do. Shot number six for double. We all know that Scottie Scheffler won the 2024 Masters, but the man who clothed him in green is today's player. The pain from Spain. The short backswing hard whack king. Inspiration for that famous song by Kasabian. John Ram Rodriguez. Yes! Excellent. Okay, so how did we do?
Yeah, birdie.
Birdied it. Oh, whoa! No.
He's got that dog in him! Oh,
can't argue with
that. I'll be honest, I didn't know the second
one.
I just kept the same.
That was fair fight.
Good Lord above. If you are only listening and haven't seen what you have just seen, Kieran just got a hole in one.
Come on!
Wow.
He's got that dog in him.
That was extraordinary.
Wow. All right, then.
I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
Literally taking me back. The way you were talking, I thought you'd got a birdie.
No, yeah. I didn't know about the Ben Hogan one, but then obviously that I knew, so I just kept it. And then I guessed him because he's got that bit of a...
He's got that kung fu.
It'll twist it.
He also played Hai Lai. Do you know what Hai Lai is?
No.
It's the one with the, like, you have this, like, big curved hook.
Oh, the curvy thing.
And you throw it against... Oh, yeah.
Wow.
You can tell he was very aggressive, apart from canoeing, which is pretty chill.
Well, so we're going to play the Discord after this, but I think we can probably presume that Kieran is...
I'm pretty sure that they will not get it on hold on shot
Kieran's
number one.
Going to win that
one. So well done, Kieran Mulhall.
Well done, Kieran Mulhall. That was fantastic. Never seen anything like it from Kieran
before.
Unbelievable. Wow, fantastic.
That's like when you hit your tee shot and you look down the fairway and you're like, I'm pretty sure I hit it straight. And you're like... I'll just check the hole. Like it's not going to be in there. There it is.
Let's not be too thingy. Like I only picked him because I thought he was the hardest man.
Because he's well tough.
Yeah.
Because he did the kung fu.
You know what I mean? He's got that little gouge.
Wow.
You know?
Brilliant. Okay. Well, well done, Mick. Thank you very much for that. Scores are kind of displayed. What is it?
I think you're still winning.
I'm winning or tie with Discord, I think.
I think you're one up, potentially. We'll put the scores up here.
Put the scores up here. But very good. Obviously, we've got a full week of content this week in Ireland that we are going to be filming. Fingers crossed with the weather. Some exciting videos coming for that and some exciting videos coming on the main channel. If you haven't subscribed to the YouTube channel here on The Rough Cut, make sure you do that now and give us a follow on your favourite podcast provider. And we're gonna close with a quote on this podcast, which we've never done before.
Could be a new feature.
It could be a new feature. I really like it. So, dramatic music?
A little bit. Just a touch, yeah.
Well, the last time we tried to end on anything, I tried to do a joke and absolutely butchered it, so hopefully this will go a bit better.
I mean, this is fun because I'm reading off a script.
okay, good.
So this was from Max Homer after his round. Okay.
We're just going to end on this, okay?
Music.
Okay. So this was basically about the approach to golf that Max is having. He said, if I catch myself thinking about what could go wrong, I let myself dream of what could go right. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you next time.
Cheers.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.